At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain, or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Ah, motherhood. One minute, you're mom of the year.
I love you, mommy.
Then the next? Not so much. From bath time to bullying, from potty training to puberty, parenting is full of challenges. But one thing is for certain, you are not alone. Welcome to Modern Mom Probs. I'm your host, author, mother, parenting expert, Tara Clark. Join me while we tackle today's modern mom problems. I'm your host, Tara Clark. If you like what we're doing, be sure to subscribe. Remember, here on Modern Mom Probs, we are trying to solve modern mom problems, or at least have fun talking about them. Today, we're going to be talking about what to do when you think your child has a health or behavior problem with Sareen Noor Ali. Sareen is the co-founder of Sleuth, an app where parents find answers and data about their child's health based upon the crowdsourced expertise of over 64,000 other parents. Inspired by her own struggle getting answers for her daughter's medical journey, Sleuth's vision is to elevate the expertise of caregivers and children and to become the largest platform for real-world data in children's health. She lives in New York City with her family and grew up in Northern Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. We were chatting for a while about all kinds of things, from bathing suits to technology and schools. Yep. And I'll circle back about that one later, because that's a whole other conversation. So I'm so excited to jump into this, because I have a lot to say, and I know you have a lot to say on this topic as well. So you call yourself a public servant turned technologist. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, I grew up just outside Washington, D.C., and my parents had moved there from Canada because my dad took a job in international development. And so when you're from that area, it's like public service or development, like literally nonstop. And I grew up in a really close-knit community where service and commitment and volunteering was really important. And so that was always a huge part of my childhood, which is like, how do you build things? How do you be a person that can help other people? And so it was kind of like a natural transition to go into government after grad school, because for me, that's what I was used to. And when I turned into technology, what I really loved about that turn was you could do the same thing with technology, but with a model that moved faster. And I love to move fast. So for me, that was like perfect. The government was amazing, but it was like a little too slow for my pace.
Yeah, that makes sense. I could definitely see that. So you co-founded Sleuth because you felt that there was a need in the market. And I could totally second that. And so
yes.
Walk me through what led you to create it.
So there is this moment where I was like, I live in New York City now. And there was this moment where I got a phone call from my daughter's doctor. And I had been waiting for the phone call because she had had a pretty big diagnostic exam. And I was about to get on the subway at 28th and 7th. I got the call before I got on the subway. I ran back on the street and I walked into the lobby of a building. And I heard what this woman said, the doctor said, and I fell on my knees. And I feel like that's the start of the story. And what I didn't know then was how hard it was going to be to get information to know what to do next. Because the doctor gave me kind of what was going on. But what really matters is clinically what's happening in your child. So like, what are you seeing at home? And there's a pretty big divide. Like, you know, she was doing actually fairly well, but I know she needed additional interventions like physical therapy and speech therapy. And I got all that information. Like, I thought I was going to get it from the medical system, but they didn't help me find it. They just said, this could help, go find it. And so after a long struggle, I quit my job and I got the best information from other parents on Facebook groups, from people who are a little bit ahead of me on the journey. And when I was ready to go back into the workforce, because, you know, my daughter was doing fine, and that was like her first part of the story. And there's a second part of the story where it kind of got a little bit worse. What I ended up meeting my co-founder, and he's like, look, crowdsourced data from caregivers is a thing. It's accurate. And I was like, wait a minute, I've been a mom for, you know, by that point, I think 6 years. And I was like, nobody ever really gave me the confidence to feel like I actually knew what was going on with my child. And so that's kind of like the origin story.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that happens so often. As a special needs parent, you sort of have the voice in the back of your head that's saying, you know, something's off, something's not quite right here. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, I think that there is this like nagging, there's this like nagging feeling of like, I wish I could do more. I know something is wrong. Or like, even if not something is wrong, I need to get to the next step to get a final answer. And I think that a lot of parents feel like, well, it's not done. The circle isn't complete. Like, I can't get my head around this last part. So I need to find out if that's right or not, because we get a lot of half answers. And I think our gut is saying, you need a whole answer. And so it drives us to figure that out a lot. And I think I've honed that instinct of knowing, but I want to be really transparent. Like, we talk to parents a lot and they say, trust your gut, trust your gut. I did not have a strong gut in the beginning. In fact, when we got that phone call, I was really shocked because I was so sure everything was fine. And I think it's taken me a long time to excavate myself from the narratives of motherhood of like, I felt like a failure that I didn't have that gut feeling. I think now I do because I've really gone inside to hone my internal intuition. But I think a lot of people just have that sense of like, I'm not finished with getting an answer.
Yeah, that makes sense about the sort of like finishing the stress cycle there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I think we know when our children need to be better supported.
Yeah. Yeah. What happens then, right? Like, you and many parents like receive a diagnosis and you go, okay, like, now what?
Yeah. I think the first thing we do is go online. Even though everyone says don't Google, I think that's exactly what we do first. And that is actually where we want to be with our startup, is like, when you're Googling, if your child is talking on time, you have the tools you need to actually track your child and know if that's right. I think you also really go to parents who have been in your shoes. We go to Facebook. We go to the mom groups. We go to TikTok. We are just trying to find someone who can hold our hand through this moment to get us through. And then the challenge is like, there's a lot of information. And the challenge at that point is like, how do you sift through the information and get the accurate information? And that's where I really, really believe that thoughtful technology, AI, we use AI, can play a huge role, because you don't have the time to scroll through all the answers on Facebook. And I think there's a role for other people to provide emotional support. And now there's this big area of opportunity to say, let me help you get the better information from people who've been there, done that.
Yeah. And because not all of the information is accurate, or not all of it is helpful. So it's a lot of time spent and wasted, if you will, trying to like sift through the proper nuggets, the things that are going to be beneficial.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be hard. You know, like, I think about motherhood and I have this perception that everything has to be hard, but actually not everything has to be hard. We have Instacart, right? Like, that makes growth, right? Like, there's these things that can make our life easier, but I think there's this narrative of like, because so many things are hard, like we don't have good parental leave policies, because it's hard to balance like life and work. So it feels like everything has to be hard, but actually there are these areas where like, it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be hard to buy our kids clothes, for example. It doesn't have to be hard always to get answers for what's going on with them.
This episode is brought to you by Modern Mom Style Box. Upgrade your wardrobe and enjoy unlimited styles for just $60 a month. Modern Mom Style Box is the first rental clothing subscription designed exclusively for moms and moms-to-be. Get started today with a free trial. Use promo code PTO.
At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain, or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's true. And I think in this situation, many times it's so lonely because you feel like you're the only family going through this, right? You're the only parent that's struggling with this. And what I've found, the more that I speak with people, that like, we're not alone, you know, like we're not the only child with special needs or who is neurodivergent or who is going through a similar thing, maybe not the exact same thing, but a similar thing. And I often tell my husband, like, I have the benefit of being able to speak to so many parents across the board, across the country, across the world, who are going through similar things, maybe not the exact same thing, but similar things. And so that gives me so much reassurance. It doesn't fix everything, obviously, but it gives me a lot of reassurance. And what do you say to people who like haven't quite found their community yet or don't even know where to look?
Yeah, I think that the first place to start is social media. Like literally go on Instagram and do a hashtag search on whatever your child is going through. And I promise you, you'll find like 2 to 3 videos of someone going through the same thing. And just being able to witness someone else that way, I think is really powerful. I think the other place to find those people is Facebook. I think they do communities really well. I mean, frankly, the only reason I'm on Facebook is because I'm on like several different diagnosis groups. And I think the last thing I would say is in your venture and journey to understand your child, there are tools that can help you turn down the anxiety. And I am no stranger to medical anxiety. I have anxiety all the time around both my kids. You know, my older one, you know, is normally developing, and my younger one has had some medical challenges. And what I find to be really helpful is to really capture what's happening in the moment. Because it's like, okay, well, they're feeling anxious about this. Is this actual anxiety or is this just like kind of normal anxiety? And that is why we ended up building a tracker on Sleuth, so that you can actually understand what's going on writ large with data. And I feel the same way about my health. Like I use a period tracker like that, right? It's like into my head, into the app. I don't worry about it until it gives me a chart and says like, this is normal and this is not normal. And so I would say like, there are ways to manage what can be a very stressful situation. It's not going to make it totally better, but maybe it reduces the noise, and all of us need the noise reduced.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as parents now, you know, we have so many things going on every day, right? Like right now it's the summer. So like, you know, our kids are in camp. And so it's a little bit more chill than during the school year, I think. But, you know, it's so hard to be on top of everything all the time, whether it's like OT appointments, speech appointments, doctor's appointments, therapy, all of those things. So it's like, if we have something else to sort of like help manage that stress, and take a little bit off of our load, I think that's a huge win.
Yeah, it's almost like the mental load too. So just for example, like both my kids get eye drops because we have genetically just have poor eyesight. And I'm like, I don't know when I started it. Like I'm supposed to be, you know what I mean? Like I'm supposed to make a doctor's appointment 3 months after one of them gets it. And I'm like, but I have no idea when I started it. And like in the moment, I really think I'm going to remember that it was June 6th. And I was like, but I never remember it because my head is full of so many other things. So when we think about the fact that, you know, we talk about the mental load, right? The conversation on social media is around the mental load. And it's mostly mothers that carry the mental load for caregiving and their child's bodies. And, you know, I'm lucky to have a lot of help, like for like domestic things. And even with that, I am overloaded with just camp forms, medical forms. When was this medication taken? When do you stop? When do you make the appointment for the speech therapist? It's mind numbing. Like it's, I'm sinking, you know?
Yeah.
And I know others are too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then like, even I'm just going to add like one step on top of that, like even your relationship with your spouse, you know, for people that do have a partner, you know, I read something the other day, and I don't quote me if this is 100% accurate, but it was something like 85% of families with children with special needs get divorced. And I was like, that seems extraordinarily high as a statistic, but having special needs children can really wear on your relationship.
Totally. There's not enough time there. You know, there's not enough time to cultivate a relationship. I mean, at one point I had a, there are all these like really subtle nuanced things that we have to do to make sure our children get what they need. And one of them is creating a really good rapport with teachers and therapists and people in the ecosystem. And that takes so much of your interpersonal energy that you might have otherwise been putting in your family, but you're putting into the people that are helping your family. And there's only so much you have in the tank. And like, so like that statistic is sad and unsurprising when you think about the day-to-day heaviness. And this is true of whether one considers them having a child of special needs or not. All children have needs, right? Whether you have a diagnosis or not, there's just, especially post-COVID, there's a lot more on our shoulders because there's a lot more on their shoulders emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously with the pandemic didn't necessarily help the mental health of our children either. And so, you know, they're, and again, I'm not going to quote a statistic on this, but it was something, you know, extraordinary, more kids needing to see mental health professionals about anxiety and depression post-COVID.
It's so real. I hear stories about it literally all the time from providers. And just, I'm happy to see that there's like more solutions coming to the market because I think it's really hard to know what to do. I mean, we have an anxiety quiz on Sleuth and we think of ourselves as like, here's your first point of entry. Like we help you know what's going on. And so we're talking internally on the team, but how do we help people get to where they need to go? Because we also know there's a shortage of providers.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Do you have any recommendations on that?
It's such a good question. I mean, how can anyone address the shortage of providers? I do think there are startups that on the telehealth, but I think I've told a couple of friends about the Coping Cat books for anxiety, and that worked really well for my older one, actually. And so you can kind of do that at home. And then my friend who's a child psychologist pointed me out to, there's actually an online course. I think it's copingcatparents.com, and you actually can, you get taught how to help your child through it. And I've had both of my children work with child psychologists, and I can say that, you know, one of them, it really helped for the short time they did it, and the other one, it didn't, because I think that I can do a lot at home. And that makes me feel a little bit stressed, but more empowered too, that like, actually we can walk through it because a lot of it is behavior change.
Yes. Yeah. So much of that is, you know, another one that I love is Go Zen. Check them out. Go Zen Love, I think, is the Instagram account, and Go Zen is like their main website, and they have courses and printables and worksheets and videos and all kinds of stuff. And I really, really want to give them a great shout out. Yeah, I think you would like them. I should put you in contact with them because they're good people. So Coping Cat, I'm going to write that down because that sounds amazing. And my son loves cats. So if there was a cat that would be telling him, you know, positive things, then that's A-OK.
Can I just tell you something really funny? So when my older did it, my older daughter did like a social skills anxiety class, which was so great for her. And she got to meet other kids her age. And they had a worksheet about things that stressed them out. And I'm pretty sure my daughter wrote me in one circumstance. She was like, when mama says this, I feel stressed. And I was like, I can handle it.
Yes.
Good feedback. I can handle it. We can work with this. And so I kind of loved the the dynamic, because she was, you know, she used a tool that helped her say how she was feeling. But, yes. You know, fair warning.
Yeah, well, that's true. But that is really constructive criticism. I have to say that that's yes. very impressive.
Yeah.
My son is currently in a program called Tapouts. It's tapouts.com. And that is a weekly preventative mental health coaching session.
Oh, wow.
And so far, so good. We're about 2 or 3 weeks into it, and he really likes it. And after each session, they take like a questionnaire, and he accidentally didn't submit it yesterday. So I was able to see it this morning, and it was really cute because I could see the things that he wants to work on and like sort of to get insight into his thoughts. And so I love that. And then I submitted it for him, so he received credit. But
we need to get links to all these. These are great resources.
You know what? I really, I'll put it in the show notes because I think they're super important to be able to offer, you know, these resources to people out there. So I love that. And obviously like Sleuth is such a game changer. I absolutely love what you guys are doing over there too.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
of course.
You. Thank you.
Of course. So being the parent of a neurodivergent child or a special needs child, like I mentioned before, can be really lonely. What can we do as parents to like find our community or build our community? I think that talking to people is probably... it's probably been one of the most beneficial things for me, outside of my son receiving services, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a good question because I think people take it kind of differently. Like sometimes I'm at a part in my journey where I'm tired of talking, and I understand the value of it too. Cause I think that, and I think that's actually the important part, is like know where you are in your journey. Some people don't want to talk about it all, or they talk about it only to people that are in the same condition, specific condition group. And I find that to be one of the safest spaces where I have to do the least emotional labor. And that's really satisfying. And I found that for me, there's like a set of four people, 4 out of 5 who I met on Instagram. And I am not a person who generally makes friends online, like my, you know, they're, you know, and they've been wonderful. And I'll just message them and be like, this is what happened in my day. And it's not something that I want to share with my broader Instagram community, because I always worry that people think I might be ranting or this or that, but they 100% understand. And so I think there's a huge power in the individual connections with people and the rant text, because it's super safe. And so I think part of community is having the different levels of community. So one of them is like the people that really get you, the really safe space. And then I think we get to choose how we talk about it to other people. And the way that I talk about it to people who have different lived experiences is I want to be witnessed. Like, please don't put your terms on me. Please don't tell me that, you know, my daughter struggles with this medical condition for a reason. That's not anyone's story to interpret except hers. And so I feel empowered when I say that. And then sometimes I feel tired. And I think it's important to know where on the spectrum you feel the most comfortable, because I'm a proponent of protecting yourself as the caregiver.
There's a lot of stuff out there. Half of your friends are on Ozempic. Instagram ads are targeting your deepest insecurities, and your kids are vomiting all over their iPads. It makes sense you're concerned, but these two moms are on a mission to help you wade through all the BS. This is Don't Worry About It, hosted by Samantha Molin and Kati Kreischner. Unlike the babysitter who keeps canceling on your date night, Don't Worry About It is a reliable weekly podcast, taking on the topics that keep us up at night. Intimidated by the Pilates machine? Scared to start that side hustle? Don't worry. Samantha and Kati will tell you, don't worry about it. Chances are they've been there and they've done that, or are in the middle of it, doing it right now. And when they haven't been there or done that, Samantha and Kati turn to the experts. New episodes of Don't Worry About It are available every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today so you'll never miss an episode. Yes. 1,000% yes. A good friend of mine who was also on Instagram, she told me once, and it stuck with me, and I'm going to share this with you now, is not everyone is deserving of your vulnerability. And it was in response to saying like, oh, I don't really feel like sharing X, Y, and Z on Instagram. I don't want to always have to share my personal thoughts about every single thing. And she said, yeah, no, you shouldn't. Why should you? Because not everyone is deserving of your vulnerability.
I couldn't agree more. I have changed a lot in that respect. It's so funny you're saying that. I had a friend who has a child with a medical issue and she's further along in her journey. She said that word for word, exactly what you said. And it really spoke to me as well, because I think at a different part of my journey, even a year ago when things were so raw and my daughter had just come out of the hospital, there was some kind of catharsis I had by posting about what was going on. And now I feel a lot more protective. And I think it's because we're not in the acute stage. And so sometimes I think that there are misperceptions when I'm that vulnerable. And whether we like it or not, in some ways, people perceive, like, we're business people, right? Like, you and I are in business, we have these things, and sometimes we don't know how people take it. And I've now realized that, like, self-protection is fine, and we can change our minds. We can change our minds in 6 months. There's no rules. Like,
no, absolutely.
Right? We make up the rules.
Exactly. It's our life. It's our family. It's our rules.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We are the gatekeeper on that.
Yes, 100%. I'm very protective of my son's privacy regarding his own stuff. Obviously, I mention it on the podcast, not really on social so much, because again, not everyone deserves to know. But so I do talk about it on the podcast, but I really am so protective of him, because I would hate for someday it to be used against him that someone said, oh, your mom was talking about this online, or, you know, she was airing dirty laundry and stuff like that. And I think that we as parents, you know, have to be responsible to them for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this phase is quick, yes. You know, like their thoughts on this might be very different if they're able to, you know, share that, what they think about it. I worry about the same thing. I worry about the same thing. And I'll say, you know, when you go through any hard things, I'm always surprised about who shows up and who you get to meet, because there's also just so many lovely people, right, that come out of the woodwork and are like, hey, I got you, or like, I get you, or I'll get the randomest messages. And sometimes I feel like a little bit narcissistic, because I think social media is like a, you know, it feels weird to talk about yourself.
I hate it. Yes.
Yeah, you get it, right? And it's like, you're not trying to, but whatever. It's just the way the game is played. And someone will be like, no, I really appreciate when you share this about what you're going through, because, like, actually, I'm going through this too. And you're like, wow, I had no idea. And people are looking for that connection point.
Yeah, they are. I had recently attended a CPEG meeting at my son's school district. And CPEG is like Special Education Parents Association, maybe. I got that right. And I went, and I had so many parents say to me, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that you were in the same boat. And so these are people that we know in real life. They live in my town. The children go to school together. And it was a contact point for them, where they were like, wow, thank you for coming. I didn't realize.
Yeah, because there's a lot of hidden parenting going on. There's a lot of hidden caregiving going on. I follow a lot of accounts where people are talking about how hard July 4th is, because they had to opt out of the barbecue. And they felt like it was a high stress weekend, because they wanted their children to participate, but for one reason or another, maybe their children couldn't. And I think there's always, in those stories, there's always like there's a set of people who don't understand, because that's considered the norm. And I feel bad that I'm not the norm. And I think actually, if we actually looked at what's happening, I think a lot of us have things that we think are not normal, but probably are normal, because so many kids have something, right? Maybe it's like noise sensitivity, or maybe they get tired easily, or, you know, things that are related, but we feel like we have to act like everyone's bodies are perfect, whether it's the kids' bodies or our bodies or their mental health or our mental health. We constantly have to act like everything is okay. And the reality is, post-pandemic, nobody is okay. It's hard.
Yes.
Why are we pretending, you know?
It's true. And, you know, also, like, pre-pandemic, it probably was the same way, and we just weren't talking about it. So at least now that we could, like, get it out on the table and all talk about that. And you're, like, inspiring me to, like, create some content about that kind of thing, saying, like, it's okay to leave the party early. It's okay to leave the barbecue. It's okay to not go to the fireworks, you know, like, all of those things. Because, like, that happens in my house a lot. And at first we used to feel bad about them, but now, you know what? We don't feel bad about them. I think now we're starting to embrace it, really.
I think it goes also to the community thing. A friend of mine who I saw is like a doctor that works abroad, and she was talking about how, you know, she was an emergency doctor here and no one healed. Everyone pretended like there was no stress from the pandemic. So I asked her, well, what happened when you were abroad? And she's like, well, these are people that are still in community with each other. So there are healing practices, there are ritual practices, there are ways to address and name and witness the pain that we all went through individually and collectively, because she's like, I don't know anyone that came out of this unhurt and not traumatized. But here in North America, we just want to feel like everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine. You're fine. We're all fine. And it's like, well, no, actually, no. I mean, like, we can be fine. It's not like the end of the world, but like, we could start by acknowledging it and then we'll get there. But if you don't acknowledge it, where are we going?
Yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. How did your kids do during the pandemic? My son actually loved virtual school because I think he has a lot of triggers in in-person school. So obviously, it's always like depends on the person's personality. But how did your daughters fare during it?
They had a great time. They were young enough that they were like, oh, we get to be with mom and dad 24/7. Like, this is awesome. But I always find myself wondering how older kids did, because I've heard some stories that it was harder for some kids. So I think the younger the kids, like the labor was more, but maybe they were protected.
I agree 100%. So tell everyone where we could find you. I feel like I could chat with you all day, but maybe we'll do it like off camera.
Likewise. Please check our app out. You can find it on the App Store. It's called Sleuth, S-L-E-U-T-H, which, fun fact, means a family of bears, as well as the definition that all of us know. So it's kind of inspired by the idea of being a mama bear and a papa bear, because we'll do anything for our kids.
That's amazing. Isn't that fun? That's so much fun. Fun fact.
Fun fact. And you can just go on hellosleuth.com and download the app. It's in about 6 weeks. We're going to be releasing something really, really exciting, but you can check out what we have now too.
Awesome. Fantastic. I love it. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Modern Mom Probs. I hope you enjoyed our deep dive in today's problem with me, your host, Tara Clark. Join me next time when I'll be interviewing another great guest and tackling another modern mom problem. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and a rating. As always, you could head over to Modern Mom Probs on Instagram and give me a follow, or check out my book, Modern Mom Probs, A Survival Guide for 21st Century Mothers, available online wherever books are sold. Well, that's it for today. See you next time, folks.
At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect family beach vacation. We can't promise that it won't rain, or that you won't get a sunburn, or that your family won't endearingly call you Lobster Mom for weeks afterward. What we can promise is a warm welcome and a comfortable room amidst all the joyful chaos. Lobster Mom. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western, with over 4,200 hotels worldwide.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.